Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. It's always our delight and joy to have you join in the broadcast as we face the issues. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can have dialogue and discussion about the issue of the day. We're going to be talking about a very serious issue today. It is a combining of events that have taken place in 2020 and what we have done as Christians, for the most part, sitting in silence, may I say. And so the question is, should Christians sit in silence, or have we been silent too long over the period of this year in relationship to those events that have eviscerated our constitutional rights, that have taken away our right to assemble, that have literally banned our freedom of speech and religious liberties? How do we respond to it? Should we continue to sit in silence, as so many Christians have done? That's what we're going to be talking about today in general, but we'll be addressing a number of the issues that bring to the forefront that very question. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's the truth book, the Word of God, the Bible. You know, I can recall back in years of yesteryear where our kids in Sunday school and those growing up in the Word of God would sing that song, the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. Yes, that's the book for me, the B-I-B-L-E. I think we've gotten a long way from that, even as Christians today, is focusing on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And everything that we say or do as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority that we have. Yes, you heard me. The authority that we have as believers in and through and with the Word of God. I believe oftentimes we falter, fail, and fall as Christians because we're not using the sword of the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, according to Ephesians chapter 6. May I remind us, as we face the issues, we do so based on the Scripture. John 8:31-32, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, made a profound statement. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. And further, he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17 when he says, speaking of the word of God, he says, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that we ought to stand on. We ought not to be afraid. We ought not to go around in hysteria. We ought not to be fearful. We ought not to bow and bend and submit as though we're slave subjects rather than free citizens in the nation in which we're living today. Yes, we need to take a stand as believers. We need to cease being silent. As I've said for many months now, pastors need to come out of the closet. They need to come out from under the bed and put on big boy pants and stand for the Word of God and confront evil and not be afraid. I have read so much in history about our forefathers of yesteryear, the Christian forefathers, back in the 1600s and 1700s. The pastors would stand in the pulpit and rail. I'm using the term correctly. They'd be preaching, but they'd be railing against the dirty politicians and the evil ways of the politicians. Then they would take their message, it would be set in print, and then posted in the city square so that all the citizens could see what the pastors had said in relationship to calling out dirty politicians or politicians that have made decisions that were antithetical to Christian belief or antithetical to the church or would be harmful to Christians. We have come a long way from that today. But as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It was the secularist of yesteryear, George Orwell, that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We see that taking place today, ladies and gentlemen, especially in this very, very serious period of time we're living in, with the protracted election that's supposed to be on November the 3rd, but now has gone into the latter part of the year and shall go into the early part of the new year. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, the evil, wicked day in which we're living in. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that it's literally as in Ephesians 6 and verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood and against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In fact, it's Franklin Graham that made the statement, said we need to vote against demonic agenda in the Georgia election. It's a pretty long article. I'll just read you the headlines. He said we need to vote against the demonic agenda in the Georgia election. But it takes truth, ladies and gentlemen, to do that. We need to stand for truth. And I'm thankful to see Franklin Graham standing publicly, unapologetically for truth in the society in which we're living in. He is calling it like it ought to be called by Christian leaders, Christian pastors. But unfortunately, the overwhelming majority of our mainland denominations have embraced evil, immoral, sinful ways rather than confronting them, opening the church doors and embracing them, inviting that sin and evil and wickedness to come in. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made a powerful statement, and I've used it for quite some time, and at the risk of redundancy yet again, I want to read to you what Jan Hus said. He said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. Now, back in his era, that's exactly what it meant to stand for the truth, even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, if I may be bold enough to say, I believe that before the rapture of the church comes, before the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is suddenly snatched out, before the believers are removed from this old world via the rapture of the church. The classic text, by the way, for that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through verse 18. The rapture is the next thing on the calendar of God. But I believe before the rapture of the church takes place physically, literally, not just projecting it and finding it prophetically, but before it takes place actually, I believe we will see the day that Christians will have to take a stand for truth, even at the risk of our lives. And I believe we're getting closer and closer to that day, every day that we live, every morning that arises. We are closer to that day. We need to be aware of it. And as such, we need to take a stand for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power dealership equipment dealer that's specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries a full line of homeowner brand equipment as Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions. Tools for Time has a staff that can answer your questions about power generation backup equipment. They can answer all of your questions about landscape lawn care equipment for the professional as well as the homeowner. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road where the gigantic flag is flowing. Old Glory, the American flag's flowing. 165-foot pole, and the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Ladies and gentlemen, find the U.S. flag at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned, an earlier portion of the monologue today, we're talking about Christian silence. Is it possible for Christians, for conservatives, for patriots, just to sit in silence? Is it possible to be silent too long? Is it possible not to take a stand and to think that somehow, some way it's going away, and to do that too long, that it would be too late to retract or to bring back or to make change? I believe we've all witnessed the lockdowns of businesses, the shutdown of churches, the threats and the intimidation from the governors and the mayors across America during the year 2020. And as this year comes to a screeching halt? As this year comes to a close and we reflect back on 2020, what do you see in the rearview mirror? What do you see that's taken place in 2020 that should cause consternation, concern, and a challenge for Christians in particular? It was Rand Paul that said this, and may I read a brief word or two from his elongated statement. Senator Rand Paul, governor, he says, governors should never have been allowed to become dictators. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll go back and listen to the blogs that's recorded on this daily broadcast, I've said this for quite some time now, months and months and months and months over, that we have been watching the mayors and the governors become little tin-horn dictators. And he said, Rand Paul, Senator Paul said, governors should never have been allowed to become dictators. In an early morning Christmas Day interview, I'm reading the article, in an early morning Christmas Day interview, Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, said that governors should never have been allowed to accumulate so much power that they can lock down the economy. You know, I'm quoting now, you know, nobody ever intended that governors would be sort of czars or dictators in charge of the economy, Rand Paul said. In my state, he's talking about the state of Kentucky, you can't have indoor dining. You can't have outdoor dining. Your kids are not allowed to be in school. We're worse than New York City right now. In Kentucky, our governor has shut down the schools, even though all of the science shows that, and all of the evidence is present, that you really aren't having a surge when you have the schools open, he added. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear has had pandemic restrictions in place, some of which include mask mandates, limiting private gatherings and sizes to groups and group sizes with the minimal capacity for indoor and outdoor businesses like gyms and carryout dining only, no inside schools and church. Many governors across the United States have locked down in varying degrees their small businesses due to surges in the Chinese Communist Party virus cases among their residents. States have felt pushback from citizens and small business owners who say they are financially in crisis and need to make a living. And it goes on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen, with the elongated article talking about the shutdowns. And Rand Paul said, that was the point that I wanted you to understand, Rand Paul said, we should never have allowed the governors to become dictators to control our cities and our states across America. And he's talking about the governors, but I talk about the governors and the mayors. As we have in our city where every 30 days the mayor extends the mask mandate, when there's no viable proof, no physical evidence of a mask preventing COVID-19. When the real proof, the real evidence, the real facts stand that of all of the deaths with COVID, 85% were mask wearers. 85% wore masks, either most of the time or all of the time. And yet it did not prevent them from catching COVID. But yet we are allowing that to take place across our nation today. Businesses have been forced to file bankruptcy. Thousands of Americans have simply given up all hope on the future. Some have even taken their own lives due to the sense of hopelessness and helplessness as a result of the lockdowns and the mandates by our state governing agencies, including the mayors across America. Governor Mike Huckabee has had some things to say. In fact, I'm looking at a Facebook article that says Governor Mike Huckabee has asked that we share this from Newt Gingrich. This is a quote. I've been active in this, talking about government, since 1958. That's 62 years. I am the angriest I've ever been in the entire six decades. You have a group of corrupt people who have absolute contempt for the American people, who believe that we're so spineless, so cowardly, so unwilling to stand up for ourselves that they can steal the presidency, and we'll wring our hands, bring in the few lawyers, and do nothing, end quote. That's from Newt Gingrich. Further, he says, my hope is that President Trump will lead the millions of Americans who understand exactly what's going on, that the Philadelphia machine is corrupt, that the Atlanta machine is corrupt, that the machine in Detroit is corrupt, and they're trying to steal the presidency, and we should not allow them to do that. Further, Newt Gingrich says, and I quote, I'm sick and tired of corrupt left-wing Democrats who believe that we're too timid and too easy to intimidate, and therefore they'll just go out and steal it, speaking of the election. You're watching an effort to steal the president of the United States, and this is not about Donald Trump. This is about the American people who have the right in an honest election with honest, legitimate ballots to pick their leader. Or are we not just sheep to be dominated by the high-tech businesses, the news media, and the various political machines? This is a crisis in American system comparable to Washington on Christmas Eve or Lincoln at Gettysburg. This is a genuine, deep crisis of our survival, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're looking at today is a silence. Generally speaking, the public is silent. I've talked with dozens and dozens and dozens of people since the election was supposed to have taken place, and I'm absolutely astonished at the number that simply say, well, there's nothing wrong with the election. We need to settle the election needs to go on. We need to go ahead and put Sleepy Joe Basement Biden in office because after all, he's won the election. Or those that will say, well, you know, God's going to handle it. God's going to take care of it. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not diminishing the sovereignty of God one whit. I'm not in any way trying to say that God is not in control. He is. But God has historically, from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, God has used people that he has put in position in places of leadership to be on the forefront, to be the tip of the spear, to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. And generally speaking, that is the Christian's responsibility. Generally speaking, that's the pastor's responsibility. Generally speaking, that's the denominational responsibility, as I find it in the Word of God. But we're living in an era today when there's silence, when pastors have been silenced by intimidation. Pastors have been silenced by the thought and the saying that, well, we ought to obey government because, after all, God gave us government. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to talk about that some in the balance of this broadcast. Is that what government says? In the context of Romans 13, where it talks about government, and in 2 Peter, where it talks about submitting to government, does that mean that we're to be silent as Christians, say nothing, do nothing, and sit in the closet or hide under the bed? Is that what it's saying? I think not, and we'll talk about that. But I want to hear from you. Where do you stand? Do you feel that we've been silent too long? How should we respond to what is taking place as Christians? Should we stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen? Are pastors to be silent in the pulpit about these issues? Or speak out, address the issues, challenge the people? That telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917. I'd love to hear from you. What is your position on that? How do you feel about that? How should we respond? Should we continue in silence as we have seen so long during the course of this year? Ladies and gentlemen, one of the issues that, several of the issues, but one of the issues that I'm personally so passionate about is that our religious liberties, our freedom to assemble, and the right to keep and bear arms have simply been eviscerated. And if Joe Biden goes into office, if he is the ultimate victor in this theft of the presidential election, every citizen under the sound of my voice, every citizen in the United States of America, every individual in America will suffer the consequences for our silence, for the silence in saying nothing, doing nothing, and sitting and allowing this to take place. I believe it's time that we stand up in unison. I believe it's time that we stand up in as a group. I believe it's time that pastors stand up across America and say, enough is enough. We'll not sit in silence any longer. We'll not keep our churches closed any longer. We will post in the, if you please, as in the 1600s, 1700s, where they would post it in printed form in the city square, they need to say, we're going to post it on every social media level that we can, calling our politicians and calling them out to stand for that which is godly, for that which is biblical, for that which is honorable, for that which stands for faith and family and the freedom and the future of our nation. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, you asked for callers with opinions. I have an opinion. And
yes, sir.
Hear it briefly before your break. This is not aimed at you at all, believe me. You have just galvanized this response by something that you said. And I'd like to point out that I'm sick and tired of these people that keep saying, God is going to handle it. God is going to handle it. You know me. You understand that I believe God, the sovereign God's in charge of anything, and he'll do it. But here's Amen. What our people don't understand, these knuckleheads that make this statement, well, God will take care of it. God gave us something that is unique in history. That is the right of the people to shape the government that rules over them. We have the right, duty, and responsibility to proactively interact with those who we elect to serve us as our rulers or governors or whatever you want to call them, representatives. We have the right and responsibility. And when they get outside the laws of the Constitution, which is based very much on the principles of the sovereign God of the universe, then we stand up and do whatever is necessary and appropriate within the law to make sure that they understand our ire, so we don't get to the point that the people of Carthage did about 160 years B.C., when Scipio, Roman general, came in and utterly obliterated Carthage. Well, the judgment was up. Carthage went away as a ruling nation, but the people went into their governing legislation and legislators and dragged many of them into the streets and said, this is what you get for betraying us. Now, I'm not advocating violence, but what I'm saying is, we have the right to shape the government over us within the confines of our law. Our laws have been broken. We must actively stand up, take those people, and literally, if necessary, as a citizens' tribunal, drag those folks out and say, you know, hit the road, Mac. You have erred, and the sovereign God of the universe has given us the right and the privilege to do that. No other country has had the right to shape the government over them to the extent that America has. The problem is, and this is the problem, one, we have forgotten what the Word of God says. No, we didn't forget. We never knew what the Word of God right. says because men right. don't read it. We don't understand what natural law is or what a blessing this nation has been to the world and how blessed we are to live in it under the laws that were established by our righteous forefathers. We must stand up, reconstitute, and then reinstate the rule of law in this nation before it's too late. And then, literally, when we realize it's all over, like the citizens of Carthage did, then drag those miscreants who put us in that position into the streets and deal with them. That's not what I'm advocating, but that's the direction we're heading. Chaos will ensue from where we are. If Christians don't stand up and within the confines of the law aggressively reconstitute and reinstate what was established a long time ago by men more righteous and knowledgeable than us, this nation will perish from the face of the earth. Okay, that's Absolutely. My opinion. Thank you.
Marshall, hang in there before you leave. Let me read you a blurb or two from an article that I believe addresses what you and I are talking about and let you respond to it for our listeners. Sure. This article says, Christians, deference to authority has gone too far. The article then reads, COVID-19, the public health measures in response to it have transformed the religious life of the United States, and not for better, but for worse. Until recently, many religious authorities have acquiesced to governmental mandates without acknowledging their right to dissent. Still others have adopted an overly deferential view of the biblical command to be subject to the governing authorities. Further, it says Christians owe respect to both their civil and ecclesiastical governments, but our deference to authority has gone too far. Recent acts of protest and civil disobedience are for hope, at least for some Christians that understand the threat that is before us. With increasing success, a number of churches and synagogues have launched lawsuits against these restrictions. Further, the article reads, but the majority of churches remain dutifully compliant with all state regulations and restrictions. And then it further states this, and this is where I'm wanting us to discuss. In the New Testament addresses subjects, not citizens. This is a critical difference that is easy to miss. In the writings of the 15th century with the Reformation, governments were accountable to the general purpose of the law. How much more can modern Americans have a legitimate expectation that the laws made by our representatives will be just and good in truth, not merely cloaked with a facial claim about the public health risk? First of all, Christians ought to realize that Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2 do not require obedience to governmental authority in all cases whatsoever, rather than counseling obedience to all powers that be. Many reformers argued that Romans 13 is better understood as freeing individual believers to resist the powers that are not ordained of God, end quote. And that's where I'm headed, and I want you to respond to that for our listeners, because I believe I understand where you're going with it.
Well, I hope you do, because my position that I hold as absolute truth is not well received in the marketplace. I answer from a historical and from a biblical point of view. And that is simply when men cease leading their culture, when men stop being principled men, brave, proactive males who ensure the righteousness of the environment around them, the culture dies. Now, there's an easier way to say it. That's the feminization of culture. When it happens, it happens. Toynbee, Sorokin, Oswald Spengler all said that. When we look at these passages like Romans 13, we need to read them through the eyes of a righteous male, a man who is both humble and also truthful and proactive. Honesty, humility, and willingness to take a stand are absolute bedrock of a man who is sold out to God. God will, By the word of God, he will be humble, he will be empathetic to the needs of others, he will be honest, and honesty over time produces integrity. And when you have those issues, and you don't fear anybody but God, and don't fear man, then you're a pretty tough cookie to deal with. And we need more of those men to stand up. We need to read Romans 13 as a righteous man reads it, and not as a woman whose need for security is so overarching that we implement all these ridiculous things that we've done to prevent the managed risk that's necessary in a culture for progress. We are wrong. We are wrong. We are wrong in what we're doing. We must be men, and to be men, we must know the Word of God, because that teaches men how to be men. I hope that's what you wanted.
Amen. Well, one of the things, and I will add to what you said, because at the time Romans 13 was understood in the Reformation, they did not have a Bill of Rights and a Constitution as we have today. They were speaking to those that were subjects to Roman law, and as subject, they would simply just say yes to the dictatorial authority over them. But we, the people today, we have a Bill of Rights, a constitutional republic form of government, and as such, if it is a law or an ordinance that is antithetical to the Word of God, then we ought to resist with civil disobedience, if necessary, to say no rather than to sit in silence. That's exactly what I'm saying, and I believe we need to recognize. Thank you so much for your input with your call, which I believe is so vital for our listeners to understand as we close out this year, that we need to recognize what has happened and say that we're not going to be silent any longer. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back. We're talking about today, Christians in silence. Have we been silent long enough or too long? Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back as we continue
this
to face
the issues. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.